All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
This is the ZABE cast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Thursday, May 28, 2026. We are running out of May. And for some of us who have endured the worst week of weather ever, not soon enough, although the weather is going to turn glorious. Welcome aboard, everybody. Thank you for downloading. It is the ZABE cast. I am your fearless host, El Baldo, just the Pop-Tart, the former Pop-Tart-eating kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And yes, the rain has finally, after a week,
and now here's Ollie
gotten
Williams.
Through.
Ollie?
It's going to rain.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ollie.
And rain
Ollie.
Again.
It's raining sideways. Raining.
Sounds rough, Ollie. Do you have an umbrella?
Had one.
Where is it?
Inside out, 2 miles away.
Now, those of you who are keen Family Guy observers will notice that I cut a little thing out of this bite. Take a listen.
And now here's Ollie Williams. Ollie?
It's going to rain.
Okay, right there. You're probably like, I thought it said, this is Ollie Williams with the Black U weather forecast, because that's the central part of the bit. He is a black weatherman who is speaking in what would be described as, shall we say, urban slang and urban energy.
And now here's Ollie Williams. Ollie?
It's gonna rain!
Well, I played that bite once on my show on 97.3 The Game in Wisconsin, and the word filtered back through the chain of command because we had just signed a deal to be the Green Bay Packers flagship affiliate. Word got back that the Packers did not like that, even though they should have had no say whatsoever on the morning show and on anything that I was doing in Milwaukee. But that was when right away I kind of sensed, oh shit, this partnership, quotes, with the team is not going to be good for us. And of course, it wasn't in the end. It was too expensive, and it basically flipped and capsized the boat, and all of us got fired except for a handful of people. And that's too bad, but that's called show business, everybody. But yeah, if I had had unlimited money I could fall back on and didn't care about keeping the job, and if I had balls that were at least two or three sizes bigger, I would have said, fuck you, it's a Family Guy. I'm not making this up. This was on network TV. Could you take out the Black U weather? We don't like that. Why do you fucking care? It's Green Bay, Wisconsin. Black population, 0.16%.
Now here's Ollie Williams. Ollie?
It's going to rain!
Anyway, I just had to get that in there. because knowing me, my memory of what had happened and the incident would have become blurred and I would have glossed over it, maybe forgotten it. But the tell is that when I went to pull this bite and I listened to it, I remembered. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the one, because I labeled it Ollie Williams, no black. Now, why would I do that? That's right. I was told, yeah, they don't like
that. And now here's Ollie Williams. Ollie?
It's going to rain.
And by the way, that was the last time the Green Bay Packers gave two shits about anything we were doing on the station. Certainly when it came to, hey, we'd like to be able to interview Matt LaFleur. No. Hey, could we have a setup near the practice field for training camp? No. It wasn't great. Loved being there. Loved going to the games. Don't harbor any personal animus, but I was letting you in behind the curtain. Anyway, welcome aboard, everybody. Vegas is through to the Stanley Cup Final for the third time in 9 years of their precocious young existence as an NHL franchise. This has to absolutely burn like acid for some of the original six and or the long-suffering hockey mad markets and franchises. I'm looking at you, Maple Leafs. I'm looking at you, Buffalo Sabres. You're sitting there going, man, we're so desperate to get back to the Stanley Cup. Oh, great. Vegas is through. Vegas is through again. And Carolina could join them, although Montreal is doing the best they can to stop probably the superior team in the East. But it's an embarrassment of riches for Vegas. Vegas was given expansion terms that at the time, many in hockey said, that seems pretty generous, the way you're letting them pluck these guys and these guys off of other NHL rosters. I can't quote chapter and verse what it was, but I do remember there being some discussion of, yeah, I think they gave them too good of a setup. But since then, they've been run very well. It's, of course, an attractive place to go play. And so they've done a great job. And this move to John Tortorella could have backfired spectacularly as they whacked Bruce Cassidy and brought in Johnny Hardass. But man, Torts has gotten it done. And they went through the best team in the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche, like shit through a tin horn, as Nick Saban would once say, which is a military term. He got it from some grumpy old general back in the day. Vegas is through to the Stanley Cup Final, singular, and OKC is one step closer to the NBA Finals, plural. We'll get to all that and more here as we get unpacked. I want to talk about sports and randomness and why, in general, sports and sports radio and sports opinion hates one thing more than anything else, and that is luck. Luck is something that cannot be quantified. It cannot be counted on. It cannot be explained. It also cannot fill a segment if you're hosting a show or write a column if you are a newspaper writer. Dwindling few left, but still. And as a fan who wants to have opinions about what is or is not going well with your team and who should or should not be fired, answer, fire everybody. Luck cuts through all of that. And that's why we hate to even acknowledge that it exists. But there it is. Now, in hockey, there's a term called puck luck, and it's real. It's a sport in which there are so many random little bounces and things that happen that luck is a huge part of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But usually the better teams have a better shot of getting through in a best of seven series. They can exert their pressure and their will to finally get through. But look, hockey is weird like that. Now, I love it. I'm fine with it. Not everybody is. Obviously, hockey is a niche sport, is the fourth of the four major sports in this country, and it's by a pretty good margin it's fourth. But as I looked at the notion of luck, and the notion of how much randomness do we want as fans in our sports. We don't want total randomness. You don't want to have a huge NFL playoff in which some 8 and 9 team gets in, although we're kind of at that point, and then have the 8 and 9 team, like say the Titans, get hot and get through to this, you know, Super Bowl. We don't want that. We want the best teams or the star quarterbacks, for the most part, to get through. And the NFL does a pretty good job of delivering that, especially what the way they've structured their playoffs. So if you're the best team with the best record, you get a bye to rest up, and then you've got the shortest, bink, bink, two-step, two-hop road to the Super Bowl. But other sports are obviously different. Hockey is the most random. I'd say baseball is the next, although there's significant weight to super teams. See the Toronto Blue Jays and the Dodgers last year. I would say football is next, and then the NBA is the least random of all the sports. Best of 7, where you only have to have 2 or 3 superior players. Now, the Knicks have obviously thrown a wrinkle into that because they did not look like the juggernaut that they became after falling down 2-1 to the Atlanta Hawks, but well, here we are. But where do you stand on luck, and how much randomness do you really want in your sports? 2 late goals in this 2-1 win by Vegas over the Avalanche were pretty remarkable. It was Cole Smith on a deflection that went through the 5-hole on Mackenzie Blackwood of Colorado, and then Gabriel Landeskog with a deflection that bounced past goalie Carter Hart of Vegas. Deflections in hockey are wild because they are things that players practice and they are exquisitely good at. What happens is these guys have such stick and awareness control that as they're buzzing by, skating through the crease, across, you know, the slot, as they see a puck coming in on a slap shot, wrist shot, whatever, they will usually try to just nick it with their stick blade. Or, in the case of Landeskog, he used the shaft to kind of bat it down. And they do it on purpose because they know that these goalies are so good, their reactions are so cat quick, and they've got such great eyes that even if a puck is whistling at them at over 100 miles an hour, if they got a bead on it, they're going to stop it. But if you deflect it just a little bit, it can lead to a goal. And that's what happened on the 2 final goals in this game. If you want, look up on YouTube some of the great hockey deflections of all time, and you'll see just how amazing these hockey players wield their stick while moving at full speed on skates in all directions, forward, backwards, cycling through like a sushi chef cutting up tiny little pieces of tuna. Tick! Little deflection. And there you go. So the Vegas Knights make the NBA, make the NHL final with some of the worst, not metrics, but worst expected profile of any Stanley Cup final team in almost 25 years. They're the first Stanley Cup final team with under 40 wins in an 80 game or more season since the 02 Hurricanes. Their 95 points in the regular season would not have been enough to make the playoffs in the East, and they were plus 2,500 to sweep the Avalanche. I'm sure a few degenerates bet on that. It's a dumb bet. They would have lost money, but they actually didn't, because the dumb bet every now and then comes home. To the NBA, Spurs Thunder Game 5 goes to OKC. OKC is the better team in this series. They have figured out how to nerf Wemby, or Wemby is nerfing himself, taking only 15 shots in that game and making only 4 of them. He is seemingly less and less willing to play near the basket, probably because he's getting the shit beat out of him down there, but either way, the Thunder have nerfed Wemby, and they seem to have their arm around this series. We'll see. They're up 3-2. That was a pivotal Game 5. But this series and this postseason is going to be remembered in the longer scope of NBA history as the postseason of flopping. And eventually the league is going to have to do something about it. I liken what's going on now to what happened with the All-Star game in the NBA. What happened in the All-Star game? Well, the All-Star game had devolved into a completely lazy garbage product. And it was well known, and people talked about it, and the media talked about it. But the NBA being slow to react and wanting to stick their head in their sand a little bit and do the whole, I can't hear you, I got major corporations still sponsoring the NBA All-Star Weekend. They didn't want to do anything. And then it got so bad, they said, okay, we're going to put in some rules, which they have. And they're going to, just like with tanking, same thing. They're slow, they deny, head in the sand, don't want to admit it. And then finally, boom, okay, we're going to do something. It's this way with flopping. Here was a call that went against Keldon Johnson of the Spurs when he was just backpedaling lightly near the top of the key, getting ready to defend his man, and Jalen Williams. It's too many Jalens in the NBA. How come I woke up and there's 30 Jalens in the NBA? I bet they're all named Jalen in the NBA. Jalen Williams just runs across the court to go try to get his position on the floor, runs right into Keldon Johnson, and then falls. Whistle, foul, San Antonio. Here is how the great Mike Tirico and Reggie Miller reacted.
His first points here of the night, only averaging 8.5 in the series. Contacts the foul on Johnson. That'll be his second. I say only because he averaged 13 in the regular season. SGA back in at the 7:06 mark.
Where's the foul, Rich?
There is none.
Oh. Okay.
There is none. Play on. This is the conference finals. Let's go.
I mean, Reggie, I think, has kind of had it. Now, he's been on some people's shows, and he has defended SGA, and he's kind of talked a little bit both ways on this flopping stuff. But that's exactly what happened. Jalen Williams just ran right into Keldon Johnson without even trying to miss him, and then fell instantly. Like, this can't keep happening. This is a serious cancer on the league. Adam Silver, I implore you. Do something, anything. And I think the NBA will eventually have to do something. Of course, we have replay. Replay sucks. Why does replay suck? Because as Solly taught me, and we should all try to understand and learn if you don't already, getting it right is overrated. Getting it right is also impossible. So for all the reviews we have in the NBA, in which, yeah, they're like, okay, this review was upheld, or yeah, the replay was, the call was overturned on review because the referees fucked up. For every one of those that there are, and there are plenty, there's a lot of calls that don't get challenged because a team might be out of them, or maybe the referees just look at you doing the woo-hoo, the whirly bird finger thing saying ask for a replay and ignore it, because that's what happened at one sequence in the game in which the following three things happened. There is an obvious goaltend by OKC, no call. Then, after the ball fall goes out of bounds, clearly off of a Oklahoma City Thunder's foot, I think it was Chet Holmgren, and they still gave the ball to OKC, blamed it on the foot belonging to one Wemby. They then asked for a replay. And then Tony Brothers, who might be the nicest guy in the world, but he seems very fishy to me. Doesn't he seem as fishy as Scott Foster, who's known as the extender? Tony Brothers, just with the ball, looks at the bench signaling, hey, you should look at this, and then gives it to OKC so they inbound it so they didn't even get to review it. So then Mitch Johnson, coach of the Spurs, is furious, saying, what the fuck? We were wanting to review it because it was late in the game. Now, it would not have changed the outcome of the game, but still. It was a juncture in the game in which teams with challenges left want to be able to overturn clearly incorrect calls, which this was. So do you think Tony Brothers let Mitch Johnson vent? No. Hit him with a fucking technical.
When Wallace got up there.
Oh, man, that's so close. Wow.
So close.
No doubt. It was close to Cornette having his hand on the ball. Tries to draw the contact that is off his foot, I believe.
By the way, on the ball off the foot of what turned out to be Chet instead of Wemby, the first thing you see is Jalen Williams pointing the other way. And that is enough to trick the referees. The trailing ref, ref number four, instantly sees that and just goes, yep, OKC ball.
Tries to draw the contact that is off his foot, I believe. Yes, it is. Gone right at the call. Tony, who was it off of? Let's see if they flip the call or not.
All right, let's go. They're throwing
call
it
stays.
In.
Call
Someone's
stays.
Going to get the ball out of bounds. Ball.
They look back and say, challenge. Johnson says, what a challenge. And they don't give it to him. Johnson was looking at the officials to say challenge, and they didn't give it to him there. The Brothers just gave Mitch Johnson a technical foul.
I mean, just absurd. This is the Western Conference Finals. We need better referees. We need to suspend some of these referees, for God's sakes, unless they're in on it. And I can't believe the league is in on it to give OKC such a generational whistle, as people are saying. I love the account Barry on here on Twitter. I don't know who runs it. Just at Barry on here, B-A-R-R-Y on here. He writes, SGA, Prime Harden, Embiid, and Jimmy Butler are four of the biggest foul grifters I've ever watched in the NBA. They spend all game humping the court to farm free throws, score 30 points or more on like five made shots, and it's the worst fucking thing you've ever watched. Then it's made worse by the announcers and their fans acting like it's not completely disgraceful. Fuck SGA and fuck OKC. Barry on here. What is your favorite term for flopping? Is it whistle farming? Is it ref baiting? Is it calling somebody a free throw merchant? I'd like to know. Also, late in the game, it looked like Wemby said something to the scrubs who came in once the game was out of hand, one of those being Bismack Biyombo, and a couple of, quote, hard fouls were given late in the game. Here's one of them, and this is the audio. These are supposedly hard fouls on Jared McCain.
Fans react as Wembanyama checks out on a...
Wembanyama just leaned down and whistled into... He whispered into Bismack... By the way, if I can't say that name enough. I love it. Bismack Biyombo. Whispered into his ear.
Fans react as Wembanyama checks out on a 4-15 night. 20 NBA Showtime presented by AT&T. Recap of this one. 39 and a foul on the Spurs.
So that's the thing. So Bismack Biyombo and Mason Plumlee are in the game as the goon squad at the end of the bench. And McCain's, you know, he started this game because of injury, and he played great, but he's still in the game for whatever reason. It looks like Plumlee just bowls him over and just blasts him in the back with his elbow. Well, he kind of does, but as I watch this play over and over, and you can go ahead and look it up yourself, McCain, and again, this is with a 14-point lead with a minute 41 to go. This is how much the Thunder have ingrained themselves, have trained themselves to always be foul farming. Always. McCain drifts into the middle of the court across the intended defensive pursuit line of Plumlee and then stops. Stops on the train tracks on purpose, does McCain, and stands straight up and turns his back to Plumlee and then gets annihilated. It was a flop. It was a hard flop, but it was a flop. And then later on, it looked bad, but they're good at making it look bad. Later on, as McCain is driving in the lane to shoot a floater, Biombo comes up to challenge.
Yeah, that is a shot there by me. I'm
facing a bit more tonight.
Yeah, I would say so. Look, everything that's going down here with the Thunder, here's a shot.
Biombo, hard foul on McCain.
These are two shots to McCain in here in the starting lineup in the closing moments of this game.
Okay, Reggie, you're old enough to know those are not shots. You want shots? Go watch Pistons Bulls, bad boy era. Go watch Lakers Celtics mid 80s. Kurt Rambis giving wood naps to guys with clotheslines going in on layups. Biombo just went straight up to contest the shot. McCain's body did collide with him, but in part because McCain was, floating in towards the basket. And when he grabbed his head on the ground, it wasn't because Biombo hit him in the head. It's because when he fell to the ground, he hit his head on the leg of another Spurs player. Anyway, the league is going to have to do something about this. It's just a matter of when will they finally realize we've got to step in, because it will not stop. It works. That's why they do it. And it's just terrible for the overall product. It's just very frustrating. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. To the NFL. The Josh Jacobs saga in Green Bay is over almost before it started. I saw the news and I go, oh boy, here we go. Josh Jacobs arrested and being held in Brown County Jail over 5 allegations of domestic violence. And one of those included alleged strangulation from his girlfriend. His girlfriend's name is Ash Cash. I kid you not. Ash, short, I'm sure, for Ashley. Last name Cash, K-A-A-S-H. K-A-A? Is that Kapa'a or Kapa'a? I don't know. I'm in Waimea. If you know, you know. Anyway, look bad, and I said to all my Packer buddies, I go, oh boy, this looks like the first big Packer criminal controversy in a long time. Packers have avoided some of the more tawdry and or disgusting or outrageous type situations. They haven't had a Deshaun Watson or a Ray Rice or the like, or a Rashee Rice, as the case is. But this was looking kind of bad. Well, today, right before I set up to do the podcast, I just checked Twitter one more time. It's like, oh, it's over. The DA's office up there said, yeah, you know what? After reviewing the evidence, we're not prepared to make a formal charging decision. He'll be released from custody this time. Final charging decision will be made by our office at a later date. It doesn't mean that there can't be charges later, but it's not good for the allegations being true right now, which, again, should always be our default assumption. Oh, that's what you say, huh? Well, let's see what the evidence says. Let's scrutinize the evidence, and let's remember, sometimes women lie. Quick break. When we come back, you thought NIL would only affect big football programs in college sports. Well, you couldn't be more wrong, and I have an example that's going to make you say, wait, what? You are listening to the ZABEcast. We're back. Thanks for sticking with me. Some feedback here from you guys on Twitter. I appreciate the feedback. And as always, I'll give you credit and throw your name a mention. Maybe scoop up a few more followers on the feedback front. On the ugly Pontiac Aztec, Charge and I talked about from Breaking Bad with Walter White. Wayne Bowman, at Wayne Bowman 2 on Twitter, says, I've always imagined the management at Pontiac kept sending the Aztec design team back messages over and over with one comment every time. It's not ugly enough. Make it uglier, more ugly. And on the loves truck stops being super clean, this one from Jay Sizablewski at JSBLSKI. If Charge has actually seen someone cleaning a bathroom at a Love's, go buy a lottery ticket right now. That's like seeing a unicorn. All right, to the story I teased before the break. If you thought NIL, name, image, likeness, which honestly quickly became, well, do you have some boosters who have a lot of money who would love to just flush it to buy some collegiate players to make your sports team better and win games? Well, then we're going to call it name, image, and likeness. Bullshit. If you thought NIL was only going to be for big-time college football and college basketball programs, well, buckle up for this one. Eastern Michigan has made a Cinderella run to the women's collegiate golf semis. That's right, Eastern Michigan, against all the traditional heavyweights in the women's golf universe, including, of course, all the Sun Belt schools and SEC schools and Western schools that you can play golf all year round. How does Eastern Michigan get in there? Well, they did it with two ringers. First of all, Eastern Michigan and Ypsilanti, Michigan, enrolls about 12,000 students, founded 1849. They claim 15 national titles. None of them were on the D1 level of competition in any sport. They've won 13 NAIA championships and two Division II titles. Baseball finished Division I runner-up, College World Series in 1976. Hey, how about that? So, in other words, not an athletic powerhouse. So what the hell was Eastern Michigan doing making a run deep into the national semis on Tuesday of this week? Well, especially weird given that Eastern Michigan had never made a regional as one of the top 72 teams in the country. It was ranked 227 as a D1 program just 2 years ago. Josh Brewer was named the head coach in May of 24 to lead the remarkable turnaround. He had spent 12 years previously at Georgia. Okay, so maybe he's a good golf coach, but really what did it? Well, what did it are the Liovau twins. Jasmine and Janae Liovau. I'm probably butchering this pronunciation, but that's their name. L-E-O-V-A-O. The twins spent 3 years at Long Beach State, also not a college women's golf power. But Jasmine, who is 1 minute younger than her twin, Janae, won the Big West Conference title and qualified for the NCAA championships as an individual. She's good. Her sister tied for third at the Big West Championships, and she too competed in the NCAA regionals twice as an individual. They took a huge leap of faith, I put that in air quotes, money, and transferred to an unproven and historically terrible program during the offseason. Why would they do that? Money, money, money. Now, some are saying that critics are twisting this, saying, oh, come on. Somebody tweeted that Eastern Michigan golf is in the final eight. They got two players from California that are high-dollar NIL transfers. They only take online classes and live in California. They rarely visit EMU. They meet up with the rest of their team for tournaments. Please tell me rock bottom. Yeah. Of course, that's not entirely true. The Lavaos spend the majority of the year in Ypsilanti. Majority. I'd like to see that. They, like most other student-athletes who compete in college golf, just so happen to spend a lot of time on the road during the season. A majority of Eastern Michigan roster has been out of the state for 8-plus weeks. Therefore, because of the busy travel schedule, it's easier to take online classes. I'd love to know the number of nights they actually sleep in Ypsilanti, Michigan. But this is a good representation of the current NIL era. The most prominent boosters at Eastern Michigan, according to Tony Paul of the Detroit News, decided to go all in on golf. A privately held global investment company backed by Capstone Holdings put a lot of money into the program. They basically said, look, we're Eastern Michigan. We can't compete in basketball or football or even baseball at the highest level. What's a soft spot? What is a program or a sport that we can float our name up there? And the answer they came up with was women's golf. Now, this is great if you're a young gal who wants to get a scholarship, but it's not what sports is supposed to be about. And you're not supposed to be living in California, taking online classes, competing for Eastern Michigan, just so they can not even win the NCAAs, but just get far into the tournament. It's just dumb. What are we doing is the question that comes to mind. To misadventurers in AI, get a load of this. A single Meta engineer burned through roughly $500,000 a month in token consumption for AI. Tokens are, you know, units, fictional coins that you spend for real compute power. And the Meta engineer was burning through $500,000 a month. What was he using the AI tokens for? Well, he created an internal company, Claudonomics Leaderboard, using Claude, that AI platform. And it ranked employees at Meta by their token usage in AI. So in other words, it was an AI system meant to snoop on who in the company was embracing and using artificial intelligence. The leaderboard ran from March. Employees with low rankings were at layoff risk. Those who had high rankings would get promoted or moved to different units. And eventually, word got out within the company, hey, what are we spending all this money on? So in other words, a guy spending way too much money on AI to monitor other employees' AI usage so that the low adopters could get fired to save the company money? Turned out to be none of those things. But wait, there's more. Turns out that humans doing jobs half-assed, hungover, partially high, or disinterested might still be cheaper and just as good as you need as AI. Major companies are now starting to cut back on AI use as costs in some cases are now higher than human workers. Very hilarious if true. And this person also said, AI currently does our expense reports at our company and it's a disaster. Oh, Lord. If you've ever worked in corporate America and had to fill out an expense report and go to the portal on what do you need, scan the receipts, put them into a category. They never fit the right category. Is it approved? Get your manager's approval. Check on the submission. Make sure it's not hung up with a, you know, return like, oh, we're still waiting for this. We need confirmation. We need your airline ticket to prove you're on this trip for these expenses. Okay. You know, you're still waiting for your $436 back for that fucking conference in Austin you had to go to. But yeah, AI is, I guess, running that. And yeah, it's doing a typical AI job. Sometimes great, sometimes shit. And then there's this. USGA is launching an AI rules program with a portal that will live inside the GHIN app or the Golfer Handicap Index Network, or the place everyone who's an amateur who wants to compete in amateur events punches in their scores. Fingers crossed, scouts honor, I swear this is what I shot. Very imperfect. So you can get a handicap and then play against players of all levels, in theory. Deloitte developed the AI that's designed to make the rules of golf more accessible and understandable for golfers everywhere. For you non-golfers, I'm going to explain something to you. There is the rules of golf, which began as a mere 12 rules, expanded, I think, to 18 rules, but then subsection A, B, C, I, double I, triple I, 1, 2, 3. It got dense quickly. the rules of golf. But there's a second book called Decisions on the Rules of Golf. And that's some of the best crapper reading material you'll ever come across. Because it takes the rules as they're written for this grand old game and then says, but this happened in an actual match. What was the USGA's decision on how they applied the rule? I remember one time taking a shit at a golf course, and in the stall was a Decisions on the Rules of Golf, and I just started thumbing through it, and I read about what happens if your ball is in a sand trap and there is a half-eaten pear leaning up against the ball obstructing your swing. Now, this is pre-2019 when you could not move, quote, loose impediments, an acorn, a rock, whatever, from a bunker because it was considered a hazard. The question then became, well, is that half-eaten pear an actual loose impediment, meaning it could be there, that a squirrel could have taken the pear and eaten half of it and left it? If so, it's a loose impediment. Or did some careless golfer eat it and then throw it in there? Because if somebody threw an empty beer can in a bunker and it was against your ball, you'd be able to move it. So the answer was, according to the rules of golf, because there was no pear tree nearby, that it was deemed to be a man-made obstruction, a.k.a. or similar to a beer can. So the player was allowed to remove it gently while in the bunker. Now you're allowed to remove loose impediments of the bunker as long as your ball doesn't move, so it doesn't matter. But that's the kind of shit that this AI portal is going to get into. And it's going to get a lot of usage of people saying, hey, is my buddy Jerry a sandbagger? Run the AI on his recent scores and tell me, does this seem plausible that he really is what he says he is? Does a cookie shop owner have the deets on LeBron possibly returning to Cleveland? Well, yeah, maybe. According to Full Court Pass, a Cleveland bakery owner claims that Charles Oakley told him LeBron James is 95% coming back to Cleveland after meeting with Maverick Carter, his agent. This via ESPN Cleveland. Somebody responded, you know, back in 2014, a person called into ESPN Cleveland Radio saying that LeBron was coming back because he had purchased a large order of cupcakes for his neighbors near his house in Bath, Ohio. This was weeks before LeBron signed and when nobody believed it, and it turned out to be 100% true. Maybe the baker knows all. It would make sense to me that one final closing of his illustrious straight to the Hall of Fame career, and on a team that could maybe use a little splash of LeBron, given the embarrassment that Kenny Atkinson and the Cavs went through. I don't think it'll work, but LeBron does get out of the vicious West into the softer East. So yeah, might be something to watch. Troy Aikman has been snubbed for a sports Emmy. Oh, man, I can't believe it. Pro Football Talk tweets, Fox's number two analyst Greg Olson has won the sports Emmy over the network's number one analyst, Tom Brady. Also snubbed was ESPN's Troy Aikman. Brian Curtis of The Ringer says the bigger story here is that Troy Aikman didn't win. He gets snubbed for the award year after year, and it mystifies people across sports television. Doesn't mystify me. I just think that Troy didn't do a good enough job. You know, did an okay job, but not the best job. You know, if he works harder at the job, then maybe he'll do a good enough job in order to win the award. And then I can say to him, hey, that's a good job by you, Troy. You won an Emmy. I guess he'll have to console himself with his $20 million a year salary for 17 games of work. Poor guy. Doing the Super Bowl this year, though, so there is that. Now let's end on one last piece of feedback, and I really appreciate it when I'm stuck for something and I don't know what it is and I can't find it. You guys come through more often than not. Eric Singleton tweets me to say, Zabe, that LSU song that eluded you, the ba-ba-ba-la-up, it's not their rouser. It's not their fight song. It is something called the LSU pregame song. Pre-game song. Okay, I'm waiting. Here we go. Got some drums. I'm feeling it. It's game day. Let's go. Let's beat the shit out of Ole Miss. It's got echoes of the da-da-da-da. I got to believe there are guys with their truck horns customized to bleed out. All right. Okay. Now we're into the old traditional pep band type song. That should be enough for me today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Spread the word, rate, and review. I appreciate it. Tomorrow, it's a Friday. So if you're a freeloader, I mean a cost-conscious Zabecast fan, and you don't pay, that's great. We'll be doing Friday's show. Scott and Solly will join me. It'll be a banger. If you do want to subscribe, go to zabe.com/premium. You get these episodes ad-free, and you get that bonus fifth day every single week. It's $5 a month. I know you got it. Help support an out-of-work, struggling, career-may-be-over former radio guy that you know and love. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time. Bye. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.